nanohub.org.
You can follow along with this presentation using printed slides from the NanoHub. Visit www.nanohub.org and download the PDF file containing the slides for this presentation. Print them out and turn each page when you hear the following sound. Enjoy the show.
So I'm going to, since Gabriel didn't use any PowerPoints, I thought everybody is waiting for PowerPoints, so I'm going to go through some of them. So what I'd like to do is really to just highlight a number of things with CheraGrid and how to, what are the resources and how to get access, and leave time for you to ask questions at the end. Let's see. So basically, I'd like to cover, just give a quick overview of what is CheraGrid, who can use it, how to get access, and some of the information regarding where you can get help. So CheraGrid, for those who heard it for the first time, it's a national cyber infrastructure funded by NSF. It's basically a network of resources providing integrated services. And the bulk of it, in terms of resources, the bulk of it is high-performance computing resources, and there are also other what we call special services and also data storage and science gateway and a number of related tools and applications. And as you can see on the bottom, a lot of these detailed information can be found at the main CheraGrid website. And here's a map, one of our favorite maps showing who's who on CheraGrid. So all these red dots are resource providers. So basically, CheraGrid is organized as a set of 11 to going to be 12 resource providers, each putting up resources to the high-speed network. And CheraGrid is also coordinated by a single what we call coordination body called the Grid Infrastructure Group, or GIG for short. And so up there you can see from the West Coast, San Diego Supercomputing Center, NCSA in the middle, Purdue, IU, and also Pittsburgh. And one of the newest member is Georgia Tech. They have a new experimental high-performance computing system that's going to come online soon. We can talk about the resources in more detail later. So it's worthwhile to kind of review what the objectives are when the CheraGrid proposal was written. So the first and foremost is the deep science. That's what people call it. Basically, science that requires very high-end computational resources and data resources that are not available typically at a campus level. And there's also the wide aspect of CheraGrid, which really aims at broadening access, allowing a lot more people, researchers and students, to access resources on the CheraGrid. So this includes people who are doing computational science but are limited by campus resources, as well as those scientific domains that don't typically use high-end computation resources. And there's also the aspect of open for CheraGrid to implement interoperability with other cyber infrastructures. And here is a snapshot of kind of what applications, what domains are using CheraGrid. I believe this is a little outdated. This year's annual report will probably present somewhat different picture, but I think in general, the overall picture will remain the same. So there you can see pretty much the domains of scientists that are using CheraGrid pretty much are across all the National Science Foundation's directorates, and with molecular sciences and astronomy studies, probably the biggest one, and there's another one, physics. So these are just give you an idea that what kind of numbers that people love to chew on. Also, in terms of how they're using TerraGrid resources, you can see that the bulk of it, in terms of number of projects, are really using the batch computing resources, which is, you know, the case where people submit their jobs, let their jobs run for days or weeks, and then look at the results. And there are also projects that more exploratory, and there are a number of projects that use significantly of the workflow ensemble parameter suite type of resources. And Science Gateway is one of the initiatives under TerraGrid. It started about maybe 3-4 years ago. So these are sort of, if you compare it with Open Science Grid, this kind of is an analogy to the VO concept. It's a group of people with a common interest in build tools that can access TerraGrid, and then let their user community use it without individually acquiring TerraGrid accounts. And there is also the interactive computation, such as visualization. Since we're having this at Purdue, so I'm just going to put in a few words about Purdue. So Purdue's role in TerraGrid started in 2005 when we started with a very small recycled cluster on TerraGrid. And as time went by, we refreshed the resources, and right now, a part of Steel cluster is a TerraGrid resources, and also the TerraGrid users can access the larger clusters through our standby queues, which has a time limit, but they can get to run a much wider jobs than the nodes that TerraGrid owns. And Purdue also has the Condor pool on TerraGrid as the only high throughput computing resources in the mix. And this picture shows a very similar graph for the kind of scientific fields that are using the resources at Purdue. And there are a great number of science projects running on TerraGrid. Every year, TerraGrid puts out two highlights brochures. One is a collection of stories of science applications that have been executed on TerraGrid. And this is the newest one this year. We're really proud of one of our staff members on the TerraGrid team, that his work was in collaboration with one of the Purdue communications faculty who's studying the interaction and collaboration behaviors of internet users on social networks that, or social, what do you call it, Wikipedia type of systems. And so this is a graph that shows the relationship between users and the articles they edit, and giving the researchers insight on the behavior, the characteristics of the behavior that they are probably different from what's perceived by a lot of people. And there is also a brochure every year that highlights the education use of the TerraGrid. And all these are available, and I have information at the end of the slide that you can find. And every year there's an annual conference where people showcase their scientific work and various visualization showcase pieces, posters, and student competitions. So it's a major fair for the Terragrid community, and the next year is in Salt Lake City in July. So when it comes to the list of resources, the Terragrid resources have been changing. The new ones are being funded periodically, and the major computational resources, there are three categories: the massively parallel systems and shared memory systems and the clusters. And there are also a number of visualization resources. And the high throughput Condor resources comes from Purdue, which is also on the Open Science Grid. And this map shows you roughly, you know, the size of these resources in terms of computational power. And the largest one right now is Kraken at Oak Ridge. Okay, so that's a lot of different resources. Every resource has are good for different things. So people usually have questions. First question would be, how do I get access? And our team usually tell people, you know, sometimes people say, I don't, for example, at Purdue, they say, we don't have nodes on the community clusters, and I have nowhere to go to run my code that needs 128 cores. And we always tell them, yes, there is a free resource that you can go, which is called Terragrid. So Terragrid is free for all U.S. researchers and their partners, if the partners are international. And there are different types of what we call allocations, where you can get time on various resources. And the application is online. And usually you have a faculty or researcher serve as PI, and then you can add the students from the group into that same allocation and share the time you get on Terragrid. Still, you know, people say, how do I get started? And the one resource, there are many Terragrid services and help you can find if you're very diligent and dedicated. Now, the one resource that I like to point out is the Campus Champion Program with Terragrid. So the idea there is that you have these representatives on each campus who has the knowledge of Terragrid, who has accounts that they can add you to it so you can get started right away. And they also, I heard rumors, they have direct access to Terragrid staff, so they sort of have a fast pass. The leader of this program is Purdue's Kay Hunt, who's also the organizer of this event. And I also has a title, although she already has many titles. I have another title, Champion of the Champions, which is our very own Kim Dillman. So even though she's out of Purdue, she's available to a lot of campus champions at other campuses, and she's really good about answering questions. So I put her picture there so you can ask her questions afterwards. Okay, and some of the things that I'm showing two examples that what Kim does to help users. In this matrix, complex matrix of all the resources, different characteristics and usage modes, it's very hard to navigate for a new user. You know, which one do I apply and how much time do I need and all sorts of questions. And Kim came up with a tutorial that really helps people to sort these things. And she even has the ABCs of Terragrid. I've never seen such things from Terragrid, so that should be help. And this is another example that Kim created. Because there's so much information, she actually came up with a spreadsheet that tells you almost like everything you ever want to know about Terrigo resources. That's what I call it. And then you basically go to the spreadsheet and you can find something that fits your needs. So basically the takeaway points for these are it's free. If you do computation, you should consider using it. And help really is not that far away, even though sometimes when people think of Terrigo, oh, there's a Terrigo Central, it's somewhere in NCSA, we don't know their phone number or things like that, but you can look around your campus, and worst case, you can always get hold of Kim, and she'll help you. And I'll put up the all this information, and feel free to contact us. The main site, if you want to find out more information, it's at terrigo.org. And there is a resource catalog there. It describes every resource, Terrigo resource that it's that is available right now in their status. Some of the resources are new, and they're probably in pre-production status. But that's the place to go. And there is also, for specific to Purdue resources, Purdue has a Terrigo website. And to access the system, a lot of people, the veterans of high-performance computing, they just do SSH from whatever client tools of their favorite. And for people who are new, there's also you can also access from the Terrigo user portal. And Purdue also putting out a Hub Zero-based web portal for accessing TerraGrid, and we're in early release, and we're soliciting early users for that. And that's pretty much what I like to say.